previous podcast about the team management wheel, I asked Dick McCann to tell us how he and Charles Margerison developed a way of feeding back information to people about their role preferences.
When feeding back the team management profile, it's important not to box people or to stereotype them. And that's why we give out a major role preference and two related role preferences. For example, someone might have a major role preference as a thruster organizer, and then the related role preferences could be on either side in the assessor developer and concluder producer sector. And that would be what we call an adjacent pattern. Or it could be major role in thruster organizer and related roles in assessor developer and explorer promoter. And that would be a skewed wheel because the related roles would be moved to one side of the major role. There's more complex patterns as well. We can get split wheels. A two-way split might be somebody with a major role in creator innovator and a related role in perhaps reporter advisor and on the other side of the wheel in thruster organizer. Or we could have a three-way split with someone as a major role in controller inspector and related roles in thruster organizer and creator innovator. So there's all these sorts of patterns which tell us a lot about the person. It's important not to stereotype them because very often we're on a journey. We've shown that role preferences change with career. They do change over time, but not quickly. And so often we're on a journey through one role to another role. So unlike other competing products who tend to say you're one particular pattern for the whole of your life, we don't. And the feedback, it's very important not to stereotype. In the team management profile, we also have, for more complex feedback, we have a breakdown of probability preferences all around the wheel, which show you from your major role, which could be explorer promoter, right down to your eighth most important one. And that's quite a complex pattern, which gives subtle insights into way people's role preferences are likely to play out in practice.
How can you apply the information about individual role preferences to the whole team?
One of the most important applications of the team management wheel is the mapping of team role preferences, because this enables the team to have a good look at itself and understand perhaps why it does what it does. The interesting thing about preferences is that all things being equal, we try to work to our preferences, because if we do, it enables our psychic energy to flow freely. I often use the analogy with electrical energy. It flows along a wire, and when it meets a resistance, then the energy is dissipated in heat. And so it is with psychic energy. When it flows freely, then there's no resistance and there's no stress. But when people are working outside of their preference, psychic energy gets dissipated in stress. It occurs when someone's an extrovert and they're given a role which requires them to sit at a desk all day and not talk to anybody. Or someone's introverted and all of a sudden they've got to get on the phone and cold call, and this creates stress. So all things being equal, when you look at the map of role preferences, you can see where the team will focus its effort. They'll focus its effort in the areas that match its preferences. So what happens when you have an unbalanced wheel? For example, you might have everybody mapping in the northwest corner in the creator-innovator sector. And here, they'll all love to sit down and think up ideas, talk to each other ideas, move from one idea to the next, and there may not be a lot of producing going on. Likewise, I've seen teams on the other side where everybody's in the concluder, producer, thruster, organizer, perhaps controller, inspector area, and they just love getting down to the real thing of delivering results. And typically, they'll be a bit resistant to change because someone says, oh, shouldn't we be doing this in a different way? Oh, no, that'll never work. Let's keep to doing what we've always done. And so we work to our preferences. And what our research has shown, of course, that all these activities need to be done by a team if it's to be high performing. The team needs to innovate. It needs to promote, develop, organize, produce, and so on all around the wheel. But when everyone has their preference role in one particular sector, then the opposite side of the wheel could be neglected. So what happens is when the team sees the potential to neglect particular activities, then it can compensate by making sure that doesn't happen. So they may have a system of coloured meetings. If they're in the green area in terms of preferences, then they'll make sure they have regular red meetings to talk about organising. So it's to be forewarned is to be forearmed, I guess. So you might ask also, well, is it better just to have a balance of preferences around the wheel? Well, theoretically, it might be quite good if you have controller inspectors interacting with asks reporter advisors, explorer promoters, thruster organisers, yes, you will have a balance around the team. But the second aspect comes into play, and that's linking. Because linking is really hard to do when you've got opposites. When you've got diversity in the team, the potential for conflict is there. In fact, in a preference balance team, I talk about incipient conflict. Everything's just on the edge of conflict, and unless the team is well linked, if it's well managed, if people understand linking, then we can avoid conflict erupting out and becoming destructive. So it's actually really, really hard to link a balanced preference team together because there is this potential for conflict. In fact, it's a lot easier to link together an unbalanced preference team. If everyone's in the concluder, producer, thruster, organiser, they tend to see the world in the same way. Now we don't need any new ideas. And so you get groupthink. And so having different preferences will challenge the team, but it can also lead to instabilities, and that's where linking needs to be worked on. And if people understand the linking skills, they can really achieve high performance.
You mentioned the colours of the team management wheel. Do they have any significance?
The colours around the team management wheel have been assigned with a great deal of thought. Green in the reporter, advisor, creator, innovator area, that's the colour of the freshness of ideas, the newness of growth. Green is very much new birth, new ideas coming into a team's situation. In the northern part, in the promoting area, that's yellow because yellow is the colour of the sun. How much better we feel on a sunny day when we'll go out exploring and looking for new opportunities. Then on the right-hand side of the model, we have the red area around the thruster organiser, and red is the colour of action, it's the colour of activity, it's red face from sweating. Some people might say it's the blood on the floor if you cross a thruster organiser, but it's still a symbol very much of getting into action. And deep blue in the controlling part of the model, that's the colour of the depths of the ocean. It's the colour of twilight when we perhaps sit down and reflect on the day and what we've achieved and what has to be done tomorrow. And in between, of course, we have various combinations of green and yellow, yellow and red and blue, which define the other four sectors. And these colours can be very useful, and we often promote the idea of coloured meetings, particularly when a team is imbalanced in terms of role preferences, then they may need to institute a series of coloured meetings on the opposite side of the wheel to their preferences. So a team in the green area might continually have green meetings all the time, but they must force themselves to perhaps once a month have a red meeting. And a red meeting is all about what has to be done, when's it going to be done, and they might combine it with a blue meeting, which reviews, have we achieved what we set out to achieve? And likewise, a team in the red area probably has red meetings and makes the decisions all the time. They need to go green. And they should once a month perhaps a green meeting have where they can look up new ideas and discuss, are we doing things in the right way? So the colours around the wheel can be used in very innovative ways to get the best out of a team and encourage it to review its performance.
Can you tell us a bit about linking and in particular how it's measured?
Linking is in the middle of the types of work model and the team management wheel. But it's important to understand that as far as the team management wheel is concerned, it's not a preference, it's a set of skills. It's there in the middle so our eyes can focus on it. We need skills of linking in order to be able to coordinate and integrate a team that's focusing on all the tasks around the team management wheel. So everybody needs to focus on the linking, and we measure linking skills using a full range leadership model, which is called the linking leader model, and it breaks linking skills down into three sections. The first is the people linking skills, and these are the skills that every team member needs to put in place. These are the teams that will cause everybody to be coordinated and integrated. Some of the people linking skills are active listening, communication, team relationships, problem solving and counselling, participative decision making, and interface management. And everybody needs to know what they mean and how to implement them. And at the more senior level of the team, in addition to the people linking skills, those senior team members will have to focus on some task linking skills. And here there are five important ones. There's the objective setting and quality standards, combined with work allocation, team development, and delegation. And those five areas need to be done to a pretty high level. The leader of the team has to do not only the six people linking skills plus the 5 task linking skills, but also has to add in the 2 leadership linking skills. And these are the skills of motivation and strategy. A leader's got to motivate the team, and they've got to have a clear idea of the strategy, be able to deal with complex issues, see the interaction of all the pieces in the jigsaw, and be on top of the game. And it's very hard for a linking leader to hold in place all of those 13 skills, but if they do, the team really can be an outstanding, high-performing one.
You have been listening to a Team Management Systems podcast. For further information, please visit our website, tmsworldwide.com.